Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the free version of the Michael Savage podcast, and I'm going to keep it free for all of you. But there are many of you who would love to be able to listen to my show without any ads. I love ads, but many of you want to listen to the podcast free of ads. So we created something for you, a solution. We call it the Savage Premium. For less than the price of one flat, tasteless beer at your local bar, you can receive access to all of my podcasts going back years ad-free for just $3.99. That's it, $3.99 a month. You'll get not only my ad-free podcast, but you will also occasionally receive access to material that is exclusive for members only, and I'm going to give you the list in a minute of what you've missed. You're going to get an occasional monologue from me, maybe a reading from one of my novels, sneak peeks of interviews before anyone else hears them, archive pieces dating back to 1994. Many things that come up, you're going to get exclusive access to Michael Savage material. Details can be seen on my website, michaelsavage.com, and if you want to join, all you got to do is go to glow.fm and search Savage Premium. That's glow.fm and search Savage Premium. Now, you will always have access to my free weekly podcast. I want to be clear about that. That's my promise to you. But if you want less ads and more Savage, join the Savage Premium Club today and never miss a spoken word of mine. It's glow.fm/savagepremium. You can find it on michaelsavage.com. And here's some of the stuff that you have missed so far. Michael Savage reading from his best-selling novel, Countdown to Mecca. My words, my voice. Savage reads from one of his lost journals, Fiji, 1968. Savage's first drive time show, Hour One. My interview with the Jewish gangster, very popular. I read from my first written published article, Who Is at the Helm? From 1965. It's heard nowhere but on my premium site. I read passages from my novel, Abuse of Power. We replayed Fat Al's Tuna. My Savage show from 324.94, the earliest show in the archive, 324.94. My interview with Donald Trump from 110.2011. 110.2011, while Mark Levin was mocking him and Sean Hannity was mocking him and the others were mocking him, I was interviewing Trump. Much more. And remember, subscribers also get ad-free podcasts every week. The cost is less than a beer at a bar, and you get a better buzz with the Savage Premium. So go to glow.fm/savagepremium for full access to ad-free podcasts and exclusive sound you'll not hear anywhere else. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the Michael Savage podcast. It seems to me the human race is doomed. We never learn anything from history, and now we have the most corrupt, senile president in American history, bringing us to the brink of World War III. Yes, you heard me right, and I'm not the only one. Here's the question. If we cannot learn from history and we are condemned to repeat history, how many more millions are going to die before American people awaken to the fact that this war that is emerging between Ukraine, really, the United States, and Russia, you can throw in NATO. This war could be stopped, could have been stopped, could have been ended, didn't have to happen. We know that Donald Trump talked about it. We know that he said that this wouldn't have happened. We know that he would have picked up a phone and called Putin. But Biden doesn't pick up a phone and call Putin. Instead, he has Zelensky, the perverted comedian come to Congress and insult the United States of America by wearing an undershirt while receiving a hero's welcome. No, he is not the Winston Churchill of our time. He's a useful stooge of the military-industrial complex. Now, let me pause right there for a minute. As Americans, we sympathize with the little guy. We sympathize with the country that appears to have been invaded by the big country. We say he's just fighting for his independence. We're saying he's a real hero. But we don't understand the Russian point of view because this administration has demonized Putin and Russia to an extent unimaginable. I want to remind you that under Donald Trump, it was the United States Air Force in combined force with the Russian Air Force that bombed the hell out of ISIS and drove them out of Syria and northern Iraq. Yes, it was Russia and the U.S. coming together under Donald Trump to drive ISIS, the rampaging psychopaths, away from the area they had conquered. The rape stopped. The desecration of ancient monuments stopped. And then we wake up, and this corrupt administration, which lives for war. Now, let me ask you something. Let me stop right there. You know, the Russians still remember the Waffen SS Ukrainian divisions that massacred the Russian people. Now you say, well, wait a minute. What about the Ukrainian side? They remember the Holodomor massacre. They remember the Holodomor starvation. Yes, I remember that. I understand that. I've studied history. This is a tinderbox. And instead of taking away the flames, we're throwing lighter fluid on it. Because the military-industrial complex has never been greedier. They're out of control. On top of that, we have psychopaths around Biden. Now remember, this is the Biden administration that's attacking straight people, attacking parents who attend school board meetings who don't want perverts teaching their children perversion. It seems this administration is insane. Instead of seeking peace, they seek more war. And so this podcast is dedicated to peace, not war, while recognizing the damage done to Ukraine, which can never be undone, by the way. Do you know that there are allegedly 8 million Ukrainians who have been driven out of their own country? Where are they? Are they ever going to come back? Do you want to see more of Ukraine destroyed? Do you think Russia is going to back down? No matter how much weaponry we send there? Have you watched Stoltenberg of NATO getting up there and talking, looking like an SS officer from the World War II era? Stoltenberg, where did he come from? The New World Order Stoltenberg? I seek my own heroes for the truth, and today you're going to hear one of them on the Michael Savage podcast. I spoke with retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, who was courageous enough to speak about the truth on the Ukraine war. He's a warrior. Title of his article was Pentagon Leaks Reveal Biden's Ukraine War Lies and What May Happen. You probably have already forgotten about the Pentagon leaks that the so-called Air Force National Guardsmen leaked, because we were deceived again into focusing on the leaker, not what he actually leaked. We should be focusing on what was released in what I am calling the new Pentagon Papers, not so much the leaker. Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis graduated from West Point, the Naval Postgraduate School, the Command and General Staff College, the Defense Language School, and the Army War College's Strategy Course. He is an Airborne Ranger Infantry Officer with service in 4 infantry divisions on 3 continents, and he knows what's going on. He is here to tell you the truth. He's here to tell you the truth. He's the author of nearly 1,000 articles and 8 published books. The latest was Kings of the East, which I highly recommend. I'm calling this podcast The New Pentagon Papers, From the Arsenal of Democracy to the Arsenal of Hypocrisy. And as you listen to this, you'll ask yourself, how did we get here? How can we stop this mad administration that lies to the American people on a daily basis and is on a warpath around the world? Colonel McGinnis wrote an excellent article explaining the shocking history of past presidents lying to the American people before leading us into wars. So Biden's not the first. If history is to be our teacher, we should all be very concerned with where we are going. Again, I want to say that Colonel McGinnis emphasizes that we need to focus on the leaks themselves instead of who leaked them. But most importantly, we need to hold the mad Biden administration accountable before the war gets worse. Even the great Warren Buffett said he's more concerned about nuclear war than he is about profit for his company. And you egg on Ukraine for more war? Is the Biden administration purposely draining our weapons arsenals to favor the Chinese, some would ask? Do you actually think Ukraine can really win the war against giant Russia? Well, Colonel McGinnis has learned firsthand from past wars and has many vital lessons to share with you. And I know you will find this conversation as enlightening as I did. Pentagon leaks reveal Biden's Ukraine war lies and what may happen next. And now we're supposed to be celebrating Ukraine's counteroffensive. Without adding up the equation of what do you think Russia's going to do if we push them to the wall. These are very dangerous, incendiary times with the most insane administration in American history. Need I say more? Well, listen carefully. Maybe you'll learn something. This is Michael Savage, and let's pray for peace.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
All right, we're ready to go. We're honored to have Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis with us on the Michael Savage podcast. Colonel, I saw your article on Fox News the other day. I was very impressed not only with the historical vantage point, but the fact that the media, of course, is once again focusing on the wrong thing. They're focusing on the leaker, not the leak. And you so succinctly spell that out. Could you please tell us what actually is going on in Ukraine in a short version? I mean, the Ukrainians are losing, obviously.
Yeah. As I indicate, Dr. Savage, that the Biden administration wants us to believe that all is copacetic with the Ukrainians, that they're going to eventually defeat the Russians in their own country and perhaps go beyond that. They've suffered massive casualties. So have the Russians, if you believe what General Milley has said, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. They've also lost, the Russians, a lot of tanks, and they're bringing up their old T-55s and T-62s out of stocks of mothballs. Now, the Ukrainians, of course, have had the advantage of us providing them with much of our sophisticated javelins, now Patriots, obviously 333 or 777 artillery, tens of thousands of rounds of that. Most of Europeans are doing the same thing. But, unless the Ukrainians can pull a rabbit out of a hat with regard to Crimea and the Donbas area, they're going to have to, probably settle for something far less than what Zelensky and company want.
Zelensky keeps saying we'll have tanks in Moscow. I've never heard anything as insane in my life.
And I will be leaving the parliament today, thanking all of you in advance for powerful English planes.
I mean, do they understand World War II is sort of a precedent for what the Russians see them in a different way than we see them?
Oh, yeah.
The Russians remember the Ukrainian SS divisions trampling over the farmland of Ukraine.
Most people, as you know, Dr. Savage, are not terribly good on their history. Mm-hmm. We no longer teach it in our schools, unfortunately, but you're right. I think there are a lot of worrisome signs. Obviously, the Belarusians are now learning how to use tactical nuclear weapons, thanks to Moscow. The Finns, rightly, are very concerned, and therefore they jumped aboard NATO. The Germans are not showing a lot of resilience here. They don't seem to understand that perhaps they ought to be doing more with the Ukrainians, if in fact they believe the Ukrainians are not doing well. You know, the real exchange inside is very worrisome. People don't understand that Ukraine is bleeding badly in terms of the numbers of forces they can throw to the into the east. And of course, we're all talking about the spring offensive, when it's going to launch, if at all. And will they have the might, the tanks? They have some Leopard 2s, obviously, given by the Poles and the Germans, a few and so forth. They don't have the M1s yet, and I don't think they'll get those anytime soon. So certainly not for the spring offensive.
But wait, so, Colonel, I have a question as a civilian. The Russians can view the entire theater of war from their satellites, right?
Right.
So what is to prevent the Russians from obliterating the tanks the minute they appear in Ukrainian soil?
Oh, nothing. and that, obviously, the drones that they're getting from, certainly from Iran. Now, whether or not they're getting drones from the Chinese that have the capability of destroying tanks, that's quite possible. We know that the Chinese have those capabilities. But the Russians have other means to counter that, as we know. If I were in the Russians' headquarters, I'd probably be watching through satellite and other imagery, as well as signal intelligence, and trying to ascertain what the flow of weapons are into that country. I'm pretty sure they know exactly how, and no doubt with Russian-speaking Ukrainians that are turncoats, they're monitoring every port of call, every port of entry, and therefore, whether it's by rail or by land or by sea, which is somewhat iffy, obviously, in the Black Sea, they know the flow. And yet, so far, they haven't stopped a lot of that, not nearly as much as one would expect.
That's very interesting. I've had Colonel MacGregor on several times. I don't know if he's a colleague of yours or if you're familiar with each other. It's not that we're pro-Russian.
No.
What we want is no world war. We don't want a nuclear war. And we know how things can escalate. And you're a professional military man. You know better than I do as a civilian. I mean, I've studied World War One for many, many years, and I call it the accidental world war, because it almost started by accident, and it then escalated where one superpower came in, then the other came to counter that one, then that one, that one. And next thing you knew, millions of men were turned into a fertilizer. And I'm terrified that we're following the same exact program without understanding where we are going. And then you have to ask yourself about the leaker, which is, of course, the whole Pentagon leak story here. You allege, and I think I agree 100% with you, that this one young man alone could never have achieved this leak. Isn't that what you wrote? That he was not alone. He worked with others in the Defense Department, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know the details of his background, other than he's a National Guardsman and Airman. Apparently had access to a skiff that had access to a server that passes top secret information back and forth. So that tells me he's a military intelligence type. And, evidently, if you believe what the media is reporting, he downloaded a lot of that material and then shared it. Now, it does seem a bit hard to believe that he would have such special access on certain types of communication that has nothing to do with the Air National Guard in Massachusetts, that he would be able to see all that about the Ukraine. However, maybe he was acting on the behalf of his leadership. Those details, Dr. Savage, have not come out. So I would reserve judgment at this point. He's a very different animal than Snowden or Manning and others that have come before him.
Very important point. How does he differ from Snowden and Manning?
Well, Snowden, of course, he downloaded 750,000 documents and then scurried off to China and eventually into Russia, where he's now a Russian citizen. So he, of course, exposed a new program that a lot of Americans didn't know about, that the NSA was snooping into places we didn't know about. Now, Manning did something not that different, just not at the same scale. And of course, unfortunately, Barack Obama let him out on clemency, I suppose, a pardon years later, perhaps, you know, for reasons that have nothing to do with compromising national security. Now, I'm concerned about our security. I don't want, you know, inside documents shared with the rest of the world, especially if we have adversaries that would use it against us. And I certainly don't want our service members endangered, as we've seen in the past, by presidents and administrations that have squandered our wealth and squandered our blood needlessly in places all over the world. And, you know, you pointed out Woodrow Wilson promised before World War One, no, we're not going to go into a foreign war. And yet, as soon as he, you know, took the presidency, you know, off we were.
You know what's interesting is the Wilson Center for Peace is a liberal think tank, and they're always involved with, you know, as we're speaking, I'm reminded of the quote Pentagon Papers.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the 60s, they were treated like world heroes. In fact, they built a career based on that leak.
Yeah.
Considered great heroes for leaking Pentagon Papers about Vietnam and how we were losing. Yeah. Here's a kid who did the same thing, and he's treated as the worst enemy we've ever had.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I'm not going to defend, you know, leaking documents, because that's, you know, I'm kind of concerned about that, because I've had a lot of friends killed in wars because of compromised intelligence. Now, but at the same time, I have no sympathy for presidents that manipulate things. You know, you mentioned Vietnam. I had a friend, now deceased, Lieutenant General Charlie Cooper, and Marine. And when Charlie was a young captain, he was the aide-de-camp to the chief of naval operations in the Pentagon. One day in the middle of the war, all the chiefs got together with a big map of Vietnam, and they marched into the Oval Office to try to convince LBJ that his plans to expand the war in Vietnam was a bad decision. It was going to cost us a lot of lives, and it wasn't going to accomplish what the president wanted. Well, Charlie said, you know, he was the only person other than the four stars and the president in the room at the time. He was holding the map holder. And Charlie said, well, after LBJ listened to what the chiefs had to say, he looked up, he yelled in his usual way with all sorts of expletives, and he said, get your butts out of here. You don't know what you're talking about. There are far more going on. Well, we know, in hindsight, that LBJ's political career was on the line, and he used the excuse of the Vietnam War to continue to perpetrate that. And we ended up ultimately sending 500,000 young Americans over there, and we brought 58,000 back in body bags. So, you know, I think that was an illustration, but there's one more, Dr. Savage, if you have time, that I was
We have unlimited time to hear the truth.
Okay. I was personally involved. In 2002, I received a letter from Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh, yeah.
He invited me to a meeting.
Mr. Coca-Cola, correct? I'm joking.
He invited me to a meeting on October the 30th, 2002, at the Pentagon. As I came to find out, there were about 15 of us. At the time, I was a Fox News analyst and appeared, you know, talking about not only Afghanistan, but also the building momentum toward Iraq. So we marched in there, not literally, but we went in there. I was sitting exactly opposite the secretary. To his right was the chairman of Joint Chief, General Meyer. We've had General Carpenter as a vice chairman. We had, you know, the entire staff, major staff, political appointees, and they basically began to tell us what was really going on. Now, allegedly, this was not a classified briefing. This led to what eventually became the military analyst program that was exposed years later by the New York Times, and the author won a Pulitzer Prize. And of course, there are a whole host of investigations. I was named in a number by the FCC as well as by the DoD Inspector General. What I told the New York Times, which is a matter of record, is after asking questions about weapons of mass destruction, which allegedly was the reason we went in there, and after Cheney and Powell and others made testimony to that fact, I had a friend at the time, Lieutenant General Fawzi al-Shamari, who was brought to this country by an intelligence agency because his life was in jeopardy from Saddam Hussein. Well, my friend Fawzi, really helped me to understand what was going on inside Iraq, because he had all his friends were the top generals in the Iraqi army. And so Fawzi, really helped me to understand that. He said, Bob, consistently, my discussions with him demonstrated conclusively we didn't, Saddam stopped that nasty stuff years previously. Well, then I started asking questions of, I remember asking Secretary Rumsfeld, about allegedly the biochemical program, and especially the yellow fever that was at the time was something that they evidently had weaponized. Well, they confirm, we think they have all that sorts of stuff. And then toward the, I think it was February of 2003, a month prior to the invasion, I was led into a secret room where they showed me all sorts of photographs and all sorts of equipment that they alleged was on the ground and demonstrated conclusively that weapons of mass destruction were in all those bunkers. Well, I doubted that. Because of what Fawzi had told me, I arranged for a meeting with an intelligence official, given my purview. And Fawzi laid out to this intelligence official, the truth. And nothing came of that. So all my protestations to Rumsfeld, to the generals, was for naught.
Well, it sounds like today with Ukraine, no matter what anyone says, they're still on a warpath, right?
Well, that is my concern. 4,500 of our service members were killed in Iraq and tens of thousands of others were wounded, all on what, as far as I'm concerned, was a manipulation of the American people to give the Bush administration the go-ahead to launch an attack. And for what reason? It certainly wasn't because he had weapons of mass destruction, because I knew that that wasn't the case. And I told the New York Times, but that was much too late in the equation. So we were manipulated. And I think that the manipulation that we saw during the Vietnam era, during the Iraq issue and others, it's painting a picture right now with regard to what the Biden people are saying about certainly Ukraine and all the pieces of this puzzle behind the scene. I have a book that came out last year, Kings of the East. It's all about what China wants. And now when I saw President Xi cozy up to Vladimir Putin a couple of weeks ago in Moscow, and the parting statement by President Xi was rather chilling. He said something to the effect that what we're doing is going to change the history back 100 years. I think essentially what he's communicating is that he has a vision of a new world order that is more to the liking of the communists in Beijing and in the totalitarians there in the Kremlin, as well as the Iranians and others. So I'm very concerned about that. I don't want to see fresh American blood spilt in places. There's no reason for that to happen. Now, I'm all in favor of going to war if our critical national interests are at stake, but I have yet to hear that from Biden.
And you mean, where's the national interest in Ukraine?
That's, I keep asking that. Back, if you went back to what was it? The fall before the invasion, November 20, I wrote an article for Fox News basically saying there's better than a 50-50 chance that Russia will attack. I ended up being right, obviously, and I gave the reasons what I was seeing in a non-classified arena that suggested that this time around Because we had a weak president, because Putin was ambitious and he had grandiose aspirations for retaking Ukraine and expanding the old Russian Empire, those things made perfect sense at the time. And of course, the closer we got, 2 weeks before he ran off to Beijing to talk to Xi, no doubt laid out the plan and then came back. And as soon as the Chinese finished the Olympics, boom, the Russians attacked from the north, from Belarus down toward Kyiv. Now, fortunately, they didn't, they're so poorly led and not well equipped that they stumbled over themselves.
The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
I have said this before, but I shall say it again and again and again. Your boys are not going to be sent into any foreign war.
It is a solemn responsibility to have to order even limited military action by forces whose overall strength is as vast and as awesome as those of the United States of America.
I take the threat very seriously. I take the fact that he develops weapons of mass destruction very seriously.
I have to ask this question. Clausewitz, the great diplomat, historian, wrote, I think he wrote that war is fundamentally, I'll paraphrase it poorly, war is a continuation of failed diplomacy.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
We have no diplomacy. None. Where is any diplomacy? Have we had one diplomat? Remember, Kissinger would do the shuttle diplomacy, trying to settle the Middle East conflict.
Yeah.
We have no diplomacy. It seems that this administration is intent on war at all costs. Is that correct?
Well, it's certainly a distraction from all the domestic crises that this administration has created.
Okay.
So, and it's been used, tail wags the dog. That's, that expression just fits this administration. I don't see how in the world they pull this off on a re-election, given the terrible, tragic circumstances they've created by their own choice.
Well, first of all, Ukraine is half gone. 8 million people have been forced to flee. If you and I were to sit in the room, you're the expert in military. I'm basically just a political chess player. So I'm sitting on the sideline and I say, how do you play this out? How does this war play out if this keeps up? Well, okay, the West keeps sending more weapons, keeps escalating the war.
Right.
Russia gets backed into a corner.
Right.
Let's say Russia loses the T-30, whatever they're bringing out now. Let's say Russia loses, God forbid, another 50, 100,000 men.
Right.
Eventually, their back is going to be to a wall, and they're going to use tactical nuclear weapons, which they don't even have to use because the weapons themselves today are so devastating. The cluster munitions that can be dropped, aerially dropped, and literally obliterate every living thing within a radius of whatever the extent may be. You don't need nuclear weapons to kill everybody in a sector. So, okay, so they escalate. What happens next? What, we then nuke Moscow? Could one of the idiots say, let's nuke Moscow?
Yeah, I wrote a piece for the Western Journal on that, and it was too hot for Fox News a year ago.
Yeah, I was going to ask how you even survived Fox News, but we don't have to go there.
Yeah, well, they don't. Sometimes I'm too upfront. I spent years on the east of the West German border against the Russians and against the East Germans. They're not nice people. I've been to Russia. I've been to Ukraine. So I have some experience in those countries. I don't think we in the West quite appreciate the Russian perspective. Now, Vladimir Putin's been manipulating the Russian people very well. Either you support what he wants to do or you're silenced. I think of the case of
that sounds like America under Biden.
Well, here recently, a 13-year-old girl was drawing a picture in a Russian public school about basically resisting the war in Ukraine. That got not only her in trouble and shipped to a orphanage, but it got her father arrested and sent to jail.
Well, that sounds like someone using the wrong pronoun in a school today in America.
Well, it does. And that sort of stuff is what's happening today in Russia. So you don't speak out against Vladimir Putin. Some people argue he's a Democrat. No, he's a totalitarian and he's using all the levers of power in that country to control people.
But that's what the American media is doing for Biden with regard to Ukraine. Anyone who opposes war as a peace oriented individual, meaning peace is patriotic. Let's start with that. Yeah. Every warrior will say the same thing. People who've actually been in combat would say the same thing. Anyone who's been in combat and been hurt or seen men die or their friends die want peace. It's the warmongers who don't even understand what it is to be punched in the nose, let alone see a friend obliterated, that seem to be screaming bloody murder for more and more war. And I see this escalating, and I also see this going in the wrong direction. I see zero diplomacy. Remember when Kissinger spoke out six, 9 months ago, what happened? He was completely excommunicated. Then all of a sudden, when Davos came along, he changed his tune entirely because he probably was told, unless you come out in favor of a more militant stance against Putin and war, you're not going to be in the club, Hank.
It ought to be guaranteed by NATO in whatever forms NATO can develop. And I believe Ukrainian membership in NATO would be appropriate outcome.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, I'm not surprised that the power centers in this country, as well as whether it's at Davos and the Economic Council and the decisions they're making, what we do know is that they have some pretty sobering ambitions for the world in which we live, and they're using the mechanisms that are available. Henry Kissinger, of course, he got us into China in 72 with Richard Nixon, and I think we ought to historically regret that because of what we made them into, the monster they are today.
Oh, I agree 100%. I must tell you, Colonel, I remember when Nixon was president.
Yeah,
I was a young man, not a child. And I remember I was not that political, but I remember writing to myself in my journal, it seems to me Nixon is doing almost everything a communist would do if he took over America. Took us off the gold standard, made friends with communist China. Even as a neophyte in the political realm, writing to myself, it didn't make sense to me what Nixon did. And here we are facing the dragon now, breathing right at us with the hot breath of their war machine, which is growing stronger by the day. And much of their technology, as we know, came directly from the United States of America, as did most of their capacity for manufacturing weapons of war.
Yeah, well, it was incredibly naive. They didn't look at the 3,500 years of history that came before 1972. Mm. And of course, the fight that Mao Zedong did with Chiang Kai-shek. And Mao was, during the Cultural Revolution, just vicious. Arguably, tens of millions of Chinese died. And that's the type of background that we went in 72 to try to resurrect that nation into something that could live on Western standards. They never had Western standards, and they continued to carry a grudge because of the two opium wars a century prior. And if you listen to what President Xi says here recently in the 20th Congress, and of course in the National People's Congress here a couple months ago, that, you know, their memory is long. You know, they really hate the West for what they did to China, you know, 150 years ago.
You mean enslaving them with opium? The English are enslaving them with opium, for example.
Oh, yeah. And the French and the Japanese. Of course, they took care of the Japanese to a certain degree.
Well, the rape of Nanking is a national scar in China that they will never forget.
And that explains the tensions even today. Of course, the Japanese occupied, quote, Taiwan, and they use that as a jumping off point to go into mainland China and then, you know, do some terrible things over the history of their occupation. And of course, you know, it's interesting, FDR, who I call out in that article as a liar, he changed our policy, our trade policy with regard to Japan, allegedly because of what they were doing in China. But, you know, I think it was really a precursor to try to get us into the war that, you know, I think behind the scenes, there were a host of evidence that suggested FDR had every intention to do that. But, you know, the Chinese or the Japanese prime minister in April of 1941 communicated directly to FDR saying, look, we want an amicable outcome to the what's happening in the Pacific. Well, FDR turned him down flat. And so what did the Japanese then do? They said, well, obviously, we're not going to do anything with the Americans. So we're going to have to begin to ratchet up a defense and maybe an offensive capability. And of course, you know, December of 41, everyone knows about the attack on Pearl Harbor. I think all these pieces do connect, whether it's, you know, FDR ignoring the Holocaust, and he did consistently. I spent some time in the Holocaust Museum going through old FDR files, and it's pretty clear what he did there or didn't do. And then, of course, you know, in the fall of 1940, the election, which took place November of the 5th, FDR promised, we're not going to go to war. And he said it consistently throughout the campaign. Of course, he was running against Wilkie, and Wilkie was saying, basically, he said, yeah, this guy's going to get us at war. And if you really don't want to go to war, don't elect FDR. Well, of course, as soon as the American people elected FDR or reelected FDR, in January, 2 months later, the Roosevelt administration hosted a meeting between the Brits and the U.S. It solidified our lethal aid, which we'd already been secretly providing to the Brits. And then, of course, in March, we had the Lend-Lease, which really blew out of the water any calls for neutrality. So we were not neutral in that war. And then incrementally, we were just piling on toward the ultimate, and the excuse that was used, of course, was the attack on Pearl Harbor. But we were ready to go to war. We had exercises.
It's very much that government was intent on going to war.
Yeah.
The same way, to bring it back to the Ukraine war and the lies in your article and what may happen next, Colonel McGinnis. It seems that Biden, of course, is lying, but he's not the first president, as you wrote in your great article, which caught my attention. Mainly the history of every president seems to have lied about war. And we have to ask directly, as a result of these new Pentagon papers, which is what we have to call them, the new Pentagon papers. Instead, there's this child National Guardsman who's going to be pilloried, which he should be, by the way, for obviously violating state secrets.
The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
Are American troops fighting Russians? I mean, I've assumed for over a year that we have special forces on the ground. I have reasons to say that as a civilian looking in.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm glad I don't know. Therefore, I can talk about generally.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
What, you know, special operations forces do around the world. Yeah, I'm a great fan of special operations forces when they're on a tether, and they're doing the right sorts of things for our national interests. Mm. But we do things and we don't talk about it, you know, whether it's SEALs going after Osama bin Laden or, you know, perhaps, you know, it's possible that that little pipeline into the Baltic Sea was mysteriously exploded by somebody that might know something. I don't know. So they're special operations forces are everywhere. They're in every embassy sometimes. Are they in that Kyiv embassy? I don't know. I wouldn't doubt it. We have billions and billions of sophisticated arms flowing into that country. That's important.
But we just bought thousands, hundreds of thousands of 155 millimeter artillery shells from South Korea, I was told, or read. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've seen that report as well.
Where did our artillery shells go? They're all used up?
Well, that's an issue. We have very limited industrial capability to replenish our arsenals. It takes years to replenish Javelins and Stingers and Patriots and the like. You know, those are on fixed contracts.
Oh, my God.
Now, under NDAA 2023, there was a flush of money that was pushed toward defense contractors to replenish our arsenals. And that's why I mentioned in that article, Dr. Savage, that I was concerned about not only our arsenals, but what are the Chinese taking away from this? You know, if they're ambitious against Taiwan and, you know, that's not a mystery. President Xi consistently talks about that,
right,
basically to fan nationalism in his country. But if they're ambitious, they want to know that we don't have sufficient munitions. Now, there was an SSCI war game conducted not that many months ago.
And what is that? Please tell us what the acronym stands for.
SS
who?
It's a think tank in Washington.
Okay, fair enough.
War games. And they do that by contract with the Pentagon, and you bring all your subject matter experts together, and then you let the computers generate the scenarios, and then you try to fight them. Well, consistently, according to the reports, the Taiwan scenario, in a week, run out of these long-range missiles because we have a set inventory. Now, that is, of course, good news to the Chinese who have, if you've seen here recently, been just ratcheting up their own production, not only ballistic missiles, but things like the DF-31, which is intended to destroy U.S. aircraft carriers. So it's a precision munition that has a big warhead, and that could put a big hole all the way to the bottom of an aircraft carrier. And, you know, they practice that sort of stuff on a routine basis. They even have training facilities in the western part of China where we've taken, photographs that have been, shown on published media of the shape from the air of what an aircraft carrier. And so they practice trying to put a hole in the top of that. Well, that's the sort of stuff that we're up against. And
I don't think we need to worry because we're practicing the correct pronoun for our for our Navy. And the important thing is for the naval people to feel good, not to fight a war. So we've gone from the arsenal of democracy, Colonel, to the arsenal of hypocrisy in my simplistic definition here. And it looks to me like this war is going to get worse before it gets better. Do you think there's any chance that the anti-war movement, which is emerging and growing in America, incidentally, it's a subterranean anti-war movement that is counter to the entire narrative, not only of the government, both Democrat, which is almost 100% pro-war, and Republican under this McCall, who looks like a maniac to me from Texas. Lindsey Graham never saw a potential war. He's never wanted someone else's son to fight in. Yeah. Is there any chance of this stopping before it gets out of control?
Well, perhaps if we have a change of administration and put somebody in there.
Trump would stop it for sure. But, you know, they've neutralized him in so many ways.
Yeah, well, you know, people like to, as you know, Dr. Savage, they called him a militarist long before he went in there, and he stopped wars.
I know. That's one of the reasons I backed him in 2015. I said, I'm anti-war because a world war is not what the world wants. He's a businessman. He doesn't. Right. He knows that war is bad for business unless you're in the war business. Yeah. I was with him 2 weeks ago in Mar-a-Lago, and I didn't bring this up. I mean, he is the same person he's always been, the same Donald Trump. But he hammered the same exact thing when Ukraine came up. He didn't hold back.
No, he
didn't. Table of 10, and he just said, the first day I'm in there, I stopped this thing, is what he said.
Yeah. Well, we should have stopped it, you know, a year prior. And there was every reason to believe we could have, in my mind. Unfortunately, we didn't do that. And we have people that are fanning the flames of going to war.
They don't know Zelensky ran on an anti-war platform. He had this unknown vulgar comedian.
Yeah.
Came out of nowhere, and he said that if I win, I'm going to be anti-war. We're never going to have war with Russia. I will never join NATO because it'll provoke Russia. Those are his campaign slogans. That's Zelensky now.
Yeah.
So look where we are today. War hero Winston Churchill in an undershirt. How did he become? He works out a lot. I got to give it to him. He those steroids he's taking and the workouts are working. But I've never seen a world leader wear the same undershirt over and over. I mean, one when he goes to the Congress, he could have put on a used sport jacket, couldn't he? What is he trying to prove with that undershirt? I don't want to drag you into my own comedic view of the world. Look, this is serious business. We don't know if U.S. troops are fighting in Russia, in Ukraine. We have to assume they're on the ground. They're advisors, the same way they were in Vietnam. They're in the embassy, the same way they were in Vietnam. Can Ukraine win the war against giant Russia? Nobody believes they can. What do you think?
Well, unless we run out of Ukrainian people willing to die with NATO weapons in their hands, this can continue for some time.
Mm.
I don't think the birth rate in Ukraine is going to be able to keep up with the bloodletting that's ongoing.
Horrible.
And so
wonderful people. Ukrainians are, you know, they're ferocious warriors in addition to everything else. They're you know, you have to admire them fighting for their homeland. Everyone who understands what they're doing backs their wanting to fight for their homeland. But it seems to me it's a losing battle. Now, no matter how many weapons you throw at them, there aren't enough men to match the amount of men that Putin is willing to sacrifice for Mother Russia.
Yeah, unless Putin is removed, which is unlikely given the oligarchs supporting him, and of course the generals will all, you know, support him because that's their own lives at stake, that they'll keep bleeding the Russian people until they get what they want. And that could be, like you said, another 100 or 200,000 lives. And for what? You know, Putin wants to make his point, and that is to take all of Ukraine. Now, is it going to happen? I don't know.
I think he's gotten so beaten and he's so bloodied and there's so much discord in Russia that if he takes the Western regions that he's already more or less occupied, he's never going to go any further. I think he's learned he cannot.
Well, that would appear to be the case at the present time.
You
know, I think the wild card here, Dr. Savage, is what the Chinese are whispering in Putin's ear.
The Chinese again.
And, you know, yeah, I wrote a book in 2018, Alliance of Evil. It's Russia and China against the West.
I'll throw Iran in now, Colonel.
What's that?
Now throw Iran into the mix.
Well, I always throw Iran, North Korea, and a few other, you know, unsavory characters into the mix because they collaborate and cooperate on a host of issues. Yeah, keep in mind, I don't know that Xi wants Putin to lose in Ukraine because that will hurt him in his relations with the Europeans. Keep in mind, Macron was over there bowing to Xi last week.
Yes.
And, you know, he brought along, I suppose, as a token buddy, the European Union chancellor or whatever her title is. And so they're trying to kind of create a third pole, I presume, in this world that we live in today, European Union being a major player. Well, you know, that could be. And that will have a major impact on whether or not I think France, Germany stay in the mix. Schultz in Germany, you know, he talks a big game, but he hasn't provided much of anything to the Ukrainians in comparison to what we've provided.
Well, that's so, because he knows their energy dependent upon Russia.
Yeah, well, and so that, you know, that's part of this mix. So geopolitically, what's going on in Western Europe and with the EU and so forth, that's going to have, I think, long-term, some very significant implications on whether or not this war in Ukraine is going to be sustained. And obviously, what's going on in Beijing and what Xi sees as his mechanisms to, you know, kind of manipulate not only the Europeans, but also indirectly the United States.
Home of borders, language, culture, the Savage Nation.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Colonel, you look, you have a global view of things that's unique, not only as a man of peace, but a man of war. You're a scholar. Can you explain to me, and I've been watching politics since I'm 17 years old, what the heck was Biden doing in Ireland last week? What did he go there for? To hide?
Or was there vacation. No,
there has to be another agenda with him. Whoever's running him, there must be another reason to go to Ireland. What was it?
No, I think it's like going to the basement.
Okay. I used to call him a hologram in the basement when he started to run. So he's a hologram in Ireland. He mixed up Gaelic with Golic or Gaelic. Yeah. Gaelic. He actually said Gaelic.
He evaded any serious issues while he was over there. You know, most Americans and even some of the people in the UK, they get irritated with what went on. But, you know, it is not of great consequence. So, you know, when you put him out of the shouting distance of reporters asking hard questions, which is essentially what they did, you know, visiting castles and eating Irish ice cream or whatever.
Yeah.
Then you have what you have. And then, of course, you put up front, I suppose, Lloyd Austin to try to answer questions that he obviously can't. General Milley's not being terribly helpful. Of course, he's on his way out anyway.
Why did Biden embrace Sinn Féin's leader? What was that about?
What was what?
Biden embraced the leader of Sinn Féin. Why?
I don't know. He was probably told to, because I'm sure he doesn't understand what he's doing.
Well, I mean, we're talking about the group that tried to overthrow, you know, Ireland for 30 or 40 years. That war came to an end, the Civil War, more or less.
Yeah.
What was Biden doing embracing, in essence, the other government in Northern Ireland?
Yeah,
there's some very peculiar issues that have emerged, even with the Potemkin visit to Ireland. But let's put that aside because it was a distraction. There's no question it's a Potemkin visit to get him off center stage because he was making a disaster of everything he was touching, and his popularity is in the toilet, so to speak, or to be more polite, let's say in the bargain basement of Macy's. The new Pentagon Papers. And the leaks reveal Biden's Ukraine war lies and what may happen next. Lieutenant Colonel retired Robert L. McGinnis. Any last thoughts for my distinguished audience of really avid listeners?
Yeah, Michael, the books I write are about the broader issues. The Deeper State I wrote a few years ago, and President Trump sent me a nice note saying, yep, I understand what's going on.
That's an honor.
I wrote a book about progressive evil years ago when I said, watch, folks, these folks are on our horizon. And then, of course, I've written about the new Cold War, which I'm absolutely convinced we're in. And then, of course, Give Me Liberty, Not Marxism. And then last year, Kings of the East, about China's intent to overcome the world. Now, I have a new one coming out this summer, Divided We Stand. Well, it's really a takeoff on what Abraham Lincoln said when in 1858, when he was accepting the nomination for the U.S. Senate in Illinois, he basically said that we have to figure out whether we're a union or not. We can't allow individual states to go their own direction. And, you know, the evidence all around us is that the left is trying to divide us to a point in which We're totally helpless. And I look at that across domestically, internationally, and so forth. It's tragic what's going on in our nation. Those of us that love our nation and have fought for our nation would like to see those that hate us to leave and to allow us to regather the faithful and really bring this nation back to where it belongs.
Well put, Colonel. Yeah, the cities are literally melting down because of the soft on crime problem, the unwillingness to face the drug cartels that are coming over, bringing the fentanyl and other drugs over the border, and so many other problems, including this false liberalism of false tolerance for virtually every behavior except God, faith, and liberty. Colonel, look, you have done great work for America, and you still are doing it. People say probably to you, what they say to me is, why don't you just enjoy the years that you have left and just stop it already? You can enjoy yourself. And I say, no, there is no joy when you see a nation you love literally being torn to ribbons by the enemies of truth and the enemies of peace.
Right.
And you guys would say duty on our country. Guess what?
Yep.
I would use MacArthur's phrase for what I do. Duty on our country is the same exact thing without taking a bullet for it.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me, and I don't tell many people this. I was at West Point in 1969.
Unbelievable.
My first during the Vietnam War. The last of the five-star generals I actually had a conversation with, Omar Bradley.
Oh, my goodness.
I was a plebe walking into Thayer Hall late. I think it was a medical appointment. And there in the middle of the hallway, nobody else but five-star general Omar Bradley. The conversation was very short because I was a plebe, a beanhead, a smack. We called them all sorts of things. And I said, good morning, General. And he said, good morning. So that was my brief conversation with a five-star general. But, you know, he represented an important legacy from our country. And it's something that I think all of us need to carry forward.
Well, the Bradley fighting vehicle, for those people who don't even know the name anymore, he was one of the great generals of World War II, and he fought alongside Eisenhower, didn't he? Were they competitors or were they allies or colleagues, would you say, Bradley and Eisenhower?
Yeah, they were acquaintances at the military academy. And of course, MacArthur was a little older, but very wise men and a lot of experience. And unfortunately, the politicians didn't tend to listen to him.
Where have all the wise men gone? Well, I think the salvation of America lies in God's hands, certainly not in the hands of our politicians. Colonel McGinnis, of course, I loved your article. We're going to make sure that the books that you have mentioned are featured prominently on the podcast. And all I can say is I respect all that you have done and are continuing to do for the nation that we both love.
Thank you, Dr. Savage.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for being with us. Much appreciated. Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.